Sacco Reel 6. The Invasion Beach, as you put it, did you land on the open beach or in the port? Or, you know, what happened to you?
Actually, we never got our feet wet. Our LCI went straight on. You know, we were expecting all sorts, you know. I remember my friend in front, Larry Crooks. He went straight over the side of the ramp. He was always a silly fucking asked. I was howling. He went straight over the plane side. But we didn't get our feet wet.
Straight on the beach.
Straight on the beach, you know. Then we charged up the beach. We had to see a few dead lying around. And there was a wall, probably about a sea wall, maybe about that high. So we ran up to that, you know, took cover, and there was a kind of trench dug along the wall, and happened to look, and Hampshire's, they're the ones that are going to, I says, I thought you blokes were going to be about a quarter of a mile inland. You should have been in your sea. Well, you know, anyway, we had quite a dive, and I was quite angry. I says, you lot should have been in there, you know, and he said,
the beachhead itself, you know, the landing area itself, was there a lot of artillery fire still coming in from the enemy?
Oh, yes.
You could see the
but there's one thing, I mean, in Africa, we never saw one British plane. Messerschmitt Alley, that was what this road was called, it led to Tunis. It was only about the last fortnight of the war we saw the odd Spitfire. Apart from that, there was just big bombers going over to bomb Tunis. And as I say, that was something. What was that? The last
bit? Salerno, we're talking about the activity. There were enemy activity against the beach.
Oh, yes, there was heavy shell fire. But no planes, that's what I was getting at. There was no planes. You know, we expected a plane. Then all of a sudden, saw this plane come. There was a cruiser. Oh, I forgot about this. I should have mentioned this before. We started to go in, and they started shelling us. So the ships had to pull back. And we had to take all our clobber off again. Because it was racks full. You know, besides all that, it was like a kind of big rack with other stuff on it in case we got stranded for days, you know. So we pulled back, then we set off again, and the shells started coming down and pulled back. And the third time we made the actual go went straight on, like, you know. And, but as I said, there was no, we were expecting German planes and all sorts, there wasn't any. But the cruiser was back, and it was shelling the Monte Cassino and all around there, you know, shelling their guns. Then this sole German plane come across with one plane, and I thought it was heading straight for the cruiser. Well, I said it's going for the cruiser because the cruiser must have been really hurting them, you know. Just the one solitary plane. And I says, where's the ACAC? You know, there was no ACAC coming, and it was going straight. And when I got maybe it's about 10 yards, so that's the way it looked to us, from the cruiser. They just disintegrated. They must have been really planned. Every shell must have hit that flaming airplane and just come down in bits. The marvelous shooting. They just and I was saying, where's the yaka? Where's it? It's going to sink the cruiser. And the whole thing, I've never seen anything like it just crumbling and smashed it. I think every shell must have hit the
there must have been a lot of naval craft in the bay, in the area,
uh-huh,
that you were seeing in action.
Well, that was the main thing. I can remember that big.
When you reached the wall, did you look around at the beach to see what things were doing, what was going on?
Oh, I was looking at the dead bodies.
Were they thick on the ground, the dead and the wounded?
Well, there's quite a lot. Because we didn't go right along the beach, we were like tucked in against this wall. And that Father Fury, I was telling you, he was coming, picking all the wounded up, you know. And I remember him really telling these American ambulance off stretcher bearers who belonged to the ship. They had to go like come and bring the wounded out, you see,
back
on
the ship.
Take them back onto the LCI. And but instead there was six of them and they were terrified, you know, the shelling, you know, they were all in a trench and Father Fury spotted them.
Oh,
he never gave them little because of the dog, like, you know,
get back and get
oh. Yeah, I remember. I've heard that they just got out sheepishly. They were terrified, those. I mean, not like all Americans. I mean, it's, yeah, they were really frightened.
You would be sticking close to your company commander, were you?
Oh, yeah.
This is still A company.
Oh, no. The actual invasion, when we went on, you weren't in your company. There was so many signals, so many stretcher bearers, so many intelligence, just in case the ship got sunk and all the specialists went down, you see. That's right. And we're all split up, that's it. There was different ones on each ship, you know, in case one ship would be no signals left if we wanted another one, that was it. Yeah.
And presumably that you got the order on landing that you had to run like, you know.
Oh, well, we ran to the sea wall, and then...
What happened to you then when you got to zero? I know you said that you were behind.
Yeah. And finally we decided to make a dash for it, like, you know, and we dashed for about a couple hundred yards and got some more shelter, you know. And the shelling was still coming, and finally we got to the rest of the company, you know.
You knew where you were where you had to assemble?
Yeah, oh, yes, I was told where we had to go.
Do you remember that where that was? Was it in the town, or...?
Oh, it was well away from the town. Well, yeah, the town was over there. Actually, did I tell you the name of the beach? Ponte Cagliano. That was the name of the beach where we landed, you know.
Any Italians about?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, there were. And at Salerno, there was a big hill with the hospital on top.
But you weren't in Salerno, you were, what, south of the city, were you?
Yeah, well, the beach was Ponte Cagliano, so that would be the name of the actual place. Salerno was over there, you know. But this mountain was up there, and there's a big hospital up on the top.
And you would assemble at this given point, your company assembly point, and presumably the battalion must have been assembling around the same area, were they?
Oh, yes, they're coming up. Uh-huh.
How long were you there at that assembly point?
From once we got actually into the parent house.
Got together before you organised yourselves for setting off.
I think everybody just kind of straggled in, you know, and joined the tour where the various companies had gone off to. And I was company headquarters, and we were just stuck at the bottom of this monastery, you know, dug in there.
And what were you doing? Were you sending, were you getting messages coming in and going out at this point?
Oh, yes. Companies had gone into action, you know, and they were cleaning up there. But the position was so bad that every night we were told, pack up everything, except the gear you need now, your rifles, your radio set, but everything else, get in a bundle and out. And at the order, everybody dashed back to the ship with this stuff, you know. And that went on, must have been about 8 or 9 nights, you know.
So you're stuck in this assembly spot?
We were actually in Salerno, and I was with company headquarters here, just below the monastery. C company was over there, D company, and the companies were spread out. But we were told, like, you know, be ready to move out of there.
Was this in case the Germans forced you back off?
Oh,
the
yeah. Well, it looked like it was going to happen, you see.
And was it a particularly nasty spot you were in where you were being shelled and attacked?
Oh, the shelling was terrible. I thought I'd gone to heaven once.
How did that come about?
Well, our old trenches, we were in vineyards, you know, the vineyard steps up And the show started. So there's about two diving into my trench, and I dived in on top of them. There's about three in it. The sound was really intense, you know. You never know, coming down in shoals, you know. And I remember when it finished, and this was about every 20 minutes or half an hour, you know. I got up, and as I said, it was a vineyard. And I clambered out, you know, covered in sand and that. And I looked up, and on this ridge here was four beautiful men standing with priest garments. But they were immaculate. You know, we were absolutely scruffy and that, you know. And for a moment, I thought I'd been killed and gone to heaven. And they were smiling down at us. There was a dark one at this side, a dark one there, and a blonde one there, and another one there. And, we're looking at them. And they were smiling down at us. Anyway, some of the guys went out and took them to the CEOs, and they were actually Germans, and they dressed up in hospital because of priest garments up there, and they come down to have a flipping laugh to see how we were suffering, because they were really on top, you know what I mean? And there were four Germans, and immaculate they were, you know, dressing up priest garments and that, you know, and they were marched away.
Did there some officers' men break under such heavy shell fire?
Plenty of men. I wouldn't say any officers did.
But do you know of any that in your own experience that just couldn't take any more shell fire?
Oh, that happened a lot, you know.
And did you understand when that did happen to someone? Did the rest of you understand? Did you sympathise?
We sympathised, you know. But as I said, the shelling there was absolutely intense, coming down in shoals, you know. Really just going to dive into your wall, and that, you know. And we couldn't get anything to eat, really. We were eating grapes. It was a grape season, you know, and we were eating grapes. And we're right in the vineyard, you know. And I remember Colonel Preston saying, you know, he says, I'm eating nothing but bloody grapes. He saw somebody had some food, and he says, I'm the CEO, I am nothing but bloody grapes.
They couldn't get food up to you.
Then eventually they started.
What food did you carry with you?
It was all compo rations.
Oh,
we had rations with us, you know. I can't exactly remember what it was of different colours, just in case this did happen, which it did, but it only lasted about 2 to 3 days. Then there was the compo rations on the ships, and they finally got them unloaded, you know.
And they got those up to you. Yeah. What was in a compo ration?
Oh, there'd be tins of steak and kidney pudding, and what was a steak and kidney pudding? There was sweets, there was
cigarettes?
There was cigarettes, there was chocolate, that's right. That'll be about it, you know.
Did most men need cigarettes, smoke cigarettes?
Oh, yeah.
In those situations. Did you smoke?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I used to smoke.
You wouldn't have much contact with civilians under such intense fire?
No, those odd civilians coming out to get water from the wells and that, you know.
Were you able to barter with them for anything?
They didn't have anything, you know, because everything had been ruined by shell fire, you know, the stuff they'd grown and that, you know, the odd bits around. I can't remember, like, getting anything from them, you know. And they were all in shelters, you know, because it was terrible. Yeah.
Were you losing heavily? Were you losing men heavily?
Mm. Oh, yes, we lost quite a lot of men. I couldn't give any exact number. I remember bringing the wounded down, the dead, and different ones. I'm trying to think if there was any officers killed. Oh, yes, what was his name? Lieutenant Colonel Odom. He got killed. He went out on a patrol. I remember. Winkler Collins, a young lieutenant. He was fantastic, he was. I remember they did one attack. They went there, made contact with the enemy, and like just shoot as many as they could, then beat them back, like, you know. And so they did that, and we could hear the firing. And we had our mortars planted there. Then they came running back, and somebody said, "Jerry's!" And they were, it was Winkler Collins, and then come back from them. And they started firing the bloody mortars at our own men. And I remember Winkler Collins, Russell Collins, he came charging. He'd only be about 19. Come, "Stop the bloody mortar! Stop the bloody mortar!" And they killed quite a few of our own men. You know, it was terrible, that. And Lieutenant Odom was one of the ones killed there.
So you said you were, for a few days, you were stuck in this assembly area, really. And then, presumably, you would move off. What happened to you at that point? Where did you go? Your first move in... Was this the action towards Hospital Hill?
Yes. And then we were taken from there altogether. Another unit came in and took over from us, and we went to a rest area somewhere.
What memories have you got of that action in the Hospital Hill area that the battalion was involved in, when you were attacking the hospital up on the hill?
Well, as I say, I was with headquarters, and it was companies who were attacking, C company attacking, C company out this way, and D company and A company. But eventually they became quite successful, you know. And
were you, when you say with headquarters, you were with battalion headquarters?
Battalion headquarters. Because they were using me as an interpreter as well, like, you know.
Did you get much interpreting to do?
Well, just a little bit interpreting civilians who were there, and if they'd seen anybody up here and things like that, you know.
Were they very cooperative, the civilians?
Oh, yes.
So when the battalion made the attack in this area some days after you landed, you don't recall a great deal of it yourself, personally? The company's going in and...
No.
Was Preston... was he out and about with his companies a great deal whilst they were in action?
Oh, yes, he'd turn up anywhere with Preston.
But you would stay with headquarters? You didn't move with him?
No.
Do you recall what kind of messages you were receiving and sending during that action? I think in terms of a battle situation.
I remember mostly was who was X, which was who was dead, and things like that. 3X, 3Y, 3 something else, and things like that. Then eventually we were taken up the line, and I forgot who took us over.
Had the battalion done a pretty good job on this?
Oh, yes, yes.
They got their spirits back.
That's right, oh, yes.
And presumably with a chap like Preston in command, they'd displayed a better attacking.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Yes, in North Africa, they'd got it pretty rough and probably felt that they hadn't done particularly well in that first action.
Yeah.
But on this one, you felt that they
Oh, yeah. Yes, I remember going out to mend a line up to one of the C companies who was right in the front of the action going up there. And they'd done well, you know. And they had different companies that held the key positions, and actually Salerno was just more or less taken, you know, and all companies seem to be doing well.
Can you take me through the process of repairing a line, if you can recall that particular one? How did you find it? Was this done in daylight or night?
Whenever it happened. And well, you start from your own exchange, and then you'd go
following it with your hand
until you finally came to the break. And that was the same thing at night, you know, have to go out at night and get to the same point. And
it must have been a pretty dangerous task to do.
Oh, yeah. During the daytime, yeah, absolutely. You had to crawl, you know.
And what do you do then when you get to the break?
Well, you get the break in. You look for the other end then. It might have been blown over there somewhere. You'd have to, like, if it's dark, you know, if it's daylight, you'd probably spot it quickly. Then you'd have to bring together and just shave the adhesive off, you know. And make a knot in the wire, then tape it all up again, you know. Then you'd have your telephone with you, and you'd check back to either both chatting together, and yeah, that was it done.
Was it usual to lay the lines on the surface rather than try to bury them?
Oh, they never buried them, no. No.
I presume that was because you were moving.
That's right. It was always laid on the surface.
And the telephone from your headquarters would go out to the company?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And was that usual? You didn't rely at that point on your wirelesses. Is that right?
Well,
again, the company presumably were in fixed positions, so they could...
Yeah, well, what used to happen, if the line went dead, you'd open up with your set, you see, and that was it. But actually, you use the sets when you're going into attack, of course, and things like that, isn't it?
Yes, you couldn't carry
that's
your
right, yeah, yeah, that's right.
And during this, which was quite a major action against, I think it was Hospital Hill.
That's right, yeah.
Were you receiving any retaliatory fire from the enemy at battalion headquarters?
You mean machine gun or shells?
Machine gun, shells, mortars.
Oh, getting loads of shells. We weren't really getting any small arms, you know.
Did you, again, do you know whether you suffered a lot of casualties on that hillside?
Oh, I couldn't tell you an exact number, but we did have quite a lot of casualties. I couldn't tell you the numbers at all.
And eventually, you obviously, I think you took the position, did you?
Oh, yes.
And where did you move to with battalion headquarters when the companies had actually got to their objectives?
Well, as I say, we were relieved by another regiment. I can't remember who.
And you went in, I think you said, to a rest.
We went down somewhere near the beach, you know. And we had a rest period there.
What do you do in a rest period?
Oh, you get your normal fatigues and things like that. And you have the cooks are there and you have a proper meal and whatnot. And it's just a rest.
And does the army really let you rest, or does rest mean that you're just doing other army duties?
Oh, yeah, everybody had duties to do. They couldn't just rest all the time, like, you know. Just like when I'm saying, when at the end of the African thing, when we were told we'd only get one duty and things like that, you know, it was the same thing, you know, you get a duty, and ordinary sergeant putting out who was on, and but you do very little. Resting and chatting about what's happened in there, you know.
Did mail come through quite early in the campaign too, from home?
Wasn't bad at all. No, it wasn't bad. No, there was never any severe holdups with mail, really.
very important item to a soldier to get his letter.
Oh, yes.
Did you, recall any situations where men got the Dear John letter from their loved ones?
I remember the various cases of someone that were written and or being told by someone that his wife was going out with someone else and things like that. You know.
It's been extremely difficult.
Yeah, but as I said, I was single and things, and I wasn't terribly interested, you know.
Well, the point I was trying to get at was that if that occurred, he must have relied a great deal on his friends to help him through
consoling
that,
yeah.
That dreadful period. Did the padre get involved with that kind of?
Oh, I suppose he would. You know. Yes, I suppose he would. He was an absolutely brilliant carpenter.
What about the MO and his stuff?
Dr. Jones, he was really good too.
Where would the RAP, the Regimental Aid Post, with the doctor be in relation to the companies and the battalion in action?
Well, they put them in the safest place it was, for, you know, regarding the conditions. You know, they try and put them in a safe place so the wounded could be carried there and attended to.
Did the doctor wait there for the stretcher bearers to bring the wounded in, or did he actually go out to the...
All those times when he came out himself, he was quite a very good MO, Dr. Jones, a Welshman.
Stretcher bearers, they would be, in effect, doled out to the companies as well as...
Oh, yes, about three stretcher bearers to each company.
And they performed well, did they?
Oh, yes.
Did you have any conscientious objectors who were stretcher bearers? People who didn't want to fight but would risk their lives with seeing to the wounded?
No.
They were all men who were,
yeah,
who were involved at all levels. Are there any other memories of this very early stage of the Salerno campaign before we move on?
Very early stage?
Before we move, you know, farther inland. You had your first major action and you're back at rest.
I'm trying to think where we went from our resting place.
Did you see much of the Italian civilians when you were in rest and back on the beaches? Were they more prevalent then?
Oh, yes. Yes.
What condition were they in? Were they able to look after themselves?
Oh, yes.
And they received you well?
No, they weren't bad at all.